Books and Brewskis, made by the men for the boys.
Hey, this is Locker Room Conversation.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Thank you for coming to episode number 30, or listening, or watching, or seeing it on Instagram in pieces.
Late night, Friday night.
It's currently 9:32 p.m.
It's 9:33 p.m.
now.
It's late for us.
It actually is.
Just kidding.
It's Friday.
People don't even know what day it is anymore.
This is week. Week number 37 of quarantine. Day number 655.
It sounds like fucking like on an island. This is day 382.
I hope people realize
no water for the past.
We've only had dripping
for the past 2 days.
For the last 2 days,
vodka has been the only.
It sounds like Lake Powell. You only have had vodka for the first 3 days.
Vodka is really in our veins right now, ice in the veins. But anyways, we did make it a little mixy tonight.
We had a mixy last week, too. We've had double mixies.
Double mixies, man. Christian hasn't been getting the beer, so we've been freaking liquoring it up.
Well, we got back from...
Which soon we're going to get hammered and talk to you guys.
Next week we're having Four Locos.
And do a live show.
With Four Locos.
Hammered with Four Locos.
Weed.
Because it's legal here, so... Why not?
I mean...
It's legal.
It's
not like we're doing illegal stuff.
I mean, Shane has a grow in his backyard. Just kidding.
Just kidding. But if I did,
it's legal. It is actually legal for you guys that don't know. You can have up to 6 plants.
Yeah.
You can have 6 marijuana plants.
There's one up there. Should we put one on the show?
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, we put it in a little box, a little marijuana box. And then every show.
We should get a fog machine.
Grind it up and we make our little
joints.
We should
get a fog machine so on video it looks like we hotbox the
room. Nice. Or we actually hotbox it.
Sure.
Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe the fog machine has smoked weed in it.
And it's just cool.
It's a smoker machine.
A little smoking machine. I like that. But in our mixing tonight, though, we got a little Waterloo, sparkling water. This was left over from Lake Powell. So it's all the girls.
I know.
It's all the girls' stuff.
Fun fact about the Waterloo. Jake Hammer dropped it in the lake. The whole bag. Or the whole case.
It sank?
No, it just floated. It was when we were taking all the stuff from the houseboat back up to the trailer.
Oh, and he dropped it.
Him and I are walking.
With the little wheelbarrow?
The wheelbarrow. He almost put the whole wheelbarrow in the lake. Waterloo's
on top. Dude,
that's
what's scary.
Dude, Waterloo's on top. Waterloo goes down. He's like, oh, fuck, the Waterloo. I don't give a fuck about that shit.
He
ends up grabbing it and throws it back in.
That's what's scary about the little the dock at Lake Powell.
Yeah.
It's like they need to widen it out. And you got the little carts. And then if one person's walking and they're trying to freaking get by and then you're trying to get by, you're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
The wheels when like grind the side and you can just drop the generator.
When we were totem pissed.
Oh, that's the biggest one where he's like, don't fucking drop this. It's like, yeah, clearly.
We had every.
I'm not going to try to put it in
at Bullfrog, we had every fucking cart. On the last day when we were cleaning up.
Yeah.
And some lady said, do you guys really need all these?
She said that.
Comes out to us.
She's like, yeah.
We're like, they're all full.
Yeah.
There's 14.
It's not like we're walking around with some bullshit. Yeah. Sorry, we get the job done, lady. So go back to your little, swimming in the pool over there.
It took us an hour to load up with like 15 carts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot nicer.
Yeah.
Because we've had times where it's taking a long time. But we did have a lot of people. So we're going to be trimming the hedges on that too. So.
Well, people?
Trimming the people.
We're cutting.
We're releasing some people. We're going to have a meeting.
Damn.
Chris, I don't know if you're going to make it.
It's fine.
I'm just kidding.
I'll just bring my own boat next time.
You just show up at the same time. Hey, what's up?
Follow you guys.
That's weird.
Look in the rearview mirror.
You guys have the same week as me. That's weird.
Why is this blue?
What's your houseboat called? Indian Fantasy Mine 2. You're just like on the boat. It's like, I know you guys tried to cut me, but I'm here.
Just already on it. Like, oh, what's
you can't
up,
do anything
guys?
Now. I took you're like week. Strapped to the boat.
Jesus.
Anyways, that was a nice little fade off there. Anyhow. But we have Waterloo, sparkling water, with vodka. I'm not a big vodka person, but.
This vodka's good.
Dripping Springs. B-Moods love the Dripping Springs.
This is up the road from them, I think. I heard her talking
about it. Oh, like Dripping Springs, Texas, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's. Yeah, Texas Hill, it is made in that.
You literally just said Dripping Springs, Texas, and then had to look at it to make
sure. No, I said, Dripping Springs, Texas, the place. I didn't know that was specifically from Dripping Springs, Texas.
Distilled and bottled by San Luis Spirits, Dripping Springs, Texas.
Yeah. Look at that.
From an old world family tradition of master distilling, a lush and balanced vodka with a smooth finish made from pure, mineral-rich artisan spring water.
Nice.
100% neutral spirits distilled from grain.
I like
According that. To the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcohol beverages during pregnancy.
That's what they say.
No vodka, guys. Women. Girls.
That's what they say. It doesn't mean you have to follow by it. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's your body. Why are you moving down there?
I don't know.
So, anyways, we got that drink here tonight. Getting drunk. Not really.
Not at all.
But, I mean, I did pour, like, double shots, so
I'm
nice.
Already almost done with mine. It's not. There's no vodka in this.
Yes, sir, it is.
I mean, I watched
you. I did 5-second pour. That's how you do it.
I watched you
One,
pour.
1, 2, 3 Mississippi.
One.
Minus one. 2 Mississippi. Wait, it's like the little the vine or whatever.
2 shots of vodka.
Vodka.
My Elmo like bouncing.
Oh yeah. Elmo. I don't even know how to do the voice, but that was funny though. But book of the month, Bill Belichick. Christian hasn't read yet.
No, I have not started this book yet on Audible.
Chapter 1 was... It was hard to get into at the beginning because Chapter 1 was all about his dad, Steve Belichick, which his son is also Steve Belichick. So it's kind of funny, and I look at... Dude, we got to get a picture of his son and put it on when we're talking about him, put it on the podcast with his
Steve
mullet.
Steve or Bill?
Yeah, no, his son, Bill.
Oh.
Bill's son. Okay. Because he's the defensive... Is he the defensive coordinator? No, so Bill's dad is Steve.
Yeah, so Steve
and Bill
Senior.
Named his son, Steve Senior. Yes. Now
then
there's
Bill,
Steve Jr.
And Steve Jr.
Yeah, and Steve Jr. is a freaking...
spitting image.
Mullet. Licking boy.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen pictures of him?
I've seen him on the sideline.
You haven't... Do you know what he looks like?
Yes, I know what he looks like.
No.
Yes, I do. I've seen
him. Yeah, he looks like Joe Dirt.
Yeah, I've seen him on...
It's Joe Dirt. Look him up, dude. It is hilarious. When they do their interview with him, dude. It is the funniest thing. He talks just like Bill, but he looks like Joe Dirt. And you're like, dude, this dude's the defensive coordinator of the Patriots. It's hilarious.
He's an ugly ass dude.
He's ugly as shit. But clearly super smart to be the coordinator at the defensive Patriots. I don't know if he's the full I don't
there
know
you
if
go.
He's
There's
full.
His mullet.
Oh, shit. I haven't seen him with that long of hair. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's
dude,
awesome. That's
no.
good for him.
We'll post the video on Instagram, but when they interview him, he talks just like Bill.
The same mannerisms and everything.
Yeah, same mannerisms, same voice. He's just like, we just had to play defensive ball, and that's kind of how it is. And like, that's all the whole time. And they're like, it's a spitting image. It's hilarious.
That's crazy.
But anyways, chapter one, they're talking about his dad basically all the way through. So his dad was a coach. He coached a lot of different sports and then went through college. And then I think he got a good – his first big job was at Vanderbilt, I want to say, back in the day. And then that's how he kind of, like, started building rapport with like NFL teams. He was able to talk to like famous coaches and stuff like that, Big Al and everything like that. And then I guess Bill just kind of was there the whole time, of course, and like would go to these parties, would go to these like hangouts and everything. And he would meet all these big time coaches. And then that just kind of became his passion. And clearly, like, it just runs in the family that they're just super smart coaches. But I guess his dad at the beginning wasn't, like, super successful. But it's kind of cool to see, like, certain stuff that he, like I was saying, that was interesting, was like how their coaching is successful and how they would go about things. And you could tell his dad was like super, he was a personable guy with these players. So he was, when players made mistakes, he was always like getting on them and then having them correct their mistakes like mid practice or something like that. He was just like super personable. And I think that's, once you're getting into chapter two, they start talking about Bill, and I think he starts adding that into his coaching style of like learning, hey, it's more about building the relationship with the player and knowing how they react to like certain cues and certain like reinforcement. Mm-hmm. Like we have positive, negative reinforcement that we talk about, but like certain reinforcement and what is their like out goal or whatever you want to say. What is their angle of how they go about.
I got you.
Responding to the coach. So I think that's how he's gotten super good, is he learned a lot from his dad who did that. And he said each individual player you have to treat like almost as your kid, but you have to realize like how each one's going to respond differently. It's kind of cool to like start hearing that. I think chapter two is gonna be a lot better, but chapter one was just kind of like a lot about his dad. But it's kind of cool to hear like, okay, this is kind of like where the start of the success of like the Bill Belichick era and everything like that.
So when you're reading that, and like, I guess, are you reading or listening to it?
Listening. You know about the audio.
Yeah, reading's stupid.
No one reads much.
If you read, you're dumb. If you listen, you're smart.
If you listen, you're smart. Everyone's got to listen. I mean, you should be listening to a podcast when you're driving to work. That's just how life is.
Side note, I listen to David Goggins' podcast at Joe Rogan.
Nice.
Episode like 1010 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, 1080.
Listen to our podcast.
No, I haven't listened to the last couple weeks. I'm in our podcast. Well, I'll listen to our own podcast. Anyhow, David Goggins is a fucking freak. But
yeah, we already know.
I know. Back to the Belichick. So as you're listening to that, do you find yourself kind of either taking cues for yourself or thinking about coaches that you had that you're like, oh, that fuckhead, I wish he did that differently? Or,
I think
it's in a positive way, like, oh, that coach really like focused on understanding the players that he was around and in who he was coaching, like guy, like a coach that coached you, or vice versa, a coach that was just a complete dumbass and didn't try to connect to players and understand how they needed to be coached.
I think it's a little bit of both, honestly. Like, how do I put it into my coaching style, but also, like what coaches in the past have been shitheads and what coaches have actually like positively influenced you. But I think like seeing bad coaches and then being involved with bad coaches and being involved with good coaches, it kind of shapes you to realize different coaching styles. And I think we've all had that, like bad coaches. And I think we've talked a lot about almost negative reinforcement, I think, is almost never like the answer. And with most of my athletes, I would say most of them never respond good with negative reinforcement. It's either positive reinforcement or it is reward-based. So, like, or goal-based, something like that. So, either set a goal for them, then they try to achieve that goal, or it's, like, reward outcome. Like, if you have younger athletes and you're able to say, hey, like, whatever. One of my really young kids, like, hey, you get a fucking star. All right. Like,
great job. Here's your star.
No, but you can tell, like, different kids are learning different things. Like, some do want a reward, like a trophy or something like that. Like, some people are
trophies.
You know, they're materialistic more like that, which is whatever. But that's what I'm saying. So some people want that. And then positive reinforcement saying, like, hey, good job on this, but then being able to talk to them and say, hey, let's work on this, but still be positive in the fact that, hey, we're going to clean it up and set goals for you almost. But when negative reinforcement, like when you're just yelling at a kid and just tearing them down, I rarely see that with, like, it turns out good. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're an athlete. We know as an athlete, when a coach or someone that you look up to or kind of like a mentor and they tear you down, you just don't have much self-confidence.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's hard to build up off of that. Like, let's say earlier, you mess up on a play or something like that and the coach yells at you.
Hell, yeah.
How do you, like, you don't, it's not a good responsive in the mind. Yeah. It's not good. Like, you're thinking about it the whole night. You're like, oh, this and that, and then it brings you down. So, at the end of the day, like, coaches need to realize what it does. I don't care how old you are as an athlete. I could even see with some of the NFL players, if you've been in the system of, like, being underneath someone your whole life, being told by coaches, we know how it is. Like, being told by coaches, like, this is what you got to do, and you kind of never get to lead yourself. Even NFL guys, I could see, like, if they get their ass chewed out by coaches, they will still take it negatively, even if you're a grown-ass man. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
No, 100%.
But you can just tell, like, that positive reinforcement's huge for athletes.
I mean, I 100% agree. I mean, I don't think really as you look at an athlete, I don't think negative reinforcement's ever a pot, especially like as bad as it is, say, with the generation we're coaching now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, our generation may have been able to take a little bit more negative, and obviously the ones before us could take more. But now everybody's kind of just, and soft isn't the right word, but they're soft. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a different generation. They're being brought up differently. They're being parented and coached differently. And as coaches, we, whether it be in the weight room, on the field, actually in sport coaching, like whatever it may be, you have to just learn and adapt to how each player coaches. And I think, you know, in our field, you know, in sports performance and working with athletes in a different setting than on the field, I mean, obviously there's times where you're with teams or whatever and whatnot, but even in a team setting or in the weight room, you have to really develop relationships, and they get more out, like when you're coaching, I feel like having a relationship with them allows you to have a little bit more leeway and whether you bring the negative in or not, because then they know, like, no, it's actually just like, no, I shouldn't do that or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Like, for example, earlier this week, one of my athletes who I've been with for a few years now, his brother's doing Squattober. His brother's not an athlete anymore. He just goes to see you, but he comes down to the gym and just works out every day, and he's doing Squattober right now. The younger brother decides to go over and try to squat, box squat, like 265.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, dipshit, you're not warm.
Yeah.
We're doing upper. He's like, oh, I know. Like, fucking idiot. But he realized, like, it's just jokingly, like, in that situation. Yeah. But then that's not even, like, a negative thing. It's just, like, don't be stupid.
Like, yeah, like,
if you hurt yourself,
understand, like, your body.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, well, I mean, when you're younger, you're just, like, sometimes you think shit. You think you're invincible sometimes. And you're like, oh, just do this. And then you don't get hurt. And you're like, well, I never got hurt, so it was fine. But then you're like, cheat.
I turned 26 in 2 weeks. So I'm still like, no, I don't need to fucking warm up. I'd never fucking warmed up. Yeah. Like, you could ask Nick Vinson, like, literally to this day, like, did Christian ever warm up right? No, never fucking, half-assed the warm up. even today,
so, like, if you have issues,
I'll go walk into the weight room. I'll go walk into the weight room and spend 25 minutes warming up, squatting. Like, my warm up is it's empty bar, 25s in the bar, 45s in the bar, and I just slowly work up. Eventually, I warm up. So I'm good to go. That's my warm up.
Yeah, just straight squats. That's it.
Yeah, you know, I warmed up at home today.
No other. Warm up at home and then drove to the gym. And then cool down and then well, yeah,
see,
I'm good.
See what I did is I used my massage gun. I warmed myself up. Oh, like, nice. I broke the tissue up. Yeah. I got in the truck, rode 10 minutes to the gym, jumped in the gym.
Oh, it's still warm.
Still kind of warm, not really. Dude, that's my biggest fucking pet peeve. Oh, I just came from practice. I'm already warm.
Yep. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, where do you go to school? Oh, yeah, you drove 25 minutes here? Yeah, you're not warm. Shut the fuck up.
I know.
Go
they always say that.
My favorite.
No, this is what happens. Or they show up 15 minutes early, and they warm up, and I'm like, hey, like, that's cool, like, you warmed up, and then, like, literally, like, or like 20, more like 20 minutes early, they do the warm up, they're done 15 minutes early. I get to them 15 minutes later, they're like, I'm warm. And I'm like, dude, you just been, like, sitting here, yeah, you've been sitting here for 15 more minutes.
15 minutes.
Literally. Like, you just.
This is my favorite that's arisen over the last, like, month, and I don't know where it came from.
Yeah,
I'm like, hey, go roll out. No, we're not doing lower today. I don't need to roll out. Did you do lower yesterday? Well, yeah, but like I don't need to roll out today. No, you need to roll out and maybe hit your lats and your upper back too, and, yeah, and maybe your arms, like just wherever you're sore. We're doing upper. I don't need to roll out.
Like, yeah, you know, you can roll out literally everywhere on your body.
Everywhere on your body. Yeah, but we're not doing legs. You're like, okay, cool. Go fucking roll out.
Exactly. I'll do the same thing. Like if I have them do like a kind of like a full body warm up, even though if we're doing more upper, like, dude, just warm up. I was like, man, look at your hips. Even when we just warm up this, I know we're doing upper body, but you can't even freaking do a shin cradle, right? Yeah. And I'm like, just do it so it's good for you.
Yeah, I mean,
so then you're still getting your heart rate up. Oh, you're still getting, you know, your muscles warm, and that's the biggest thing. Is like, you still should do whatever, a full body warm up, even if you're doing some stuff, and then you can delicate and then go into specific warm up and be like, okay, now we're doing shoulders.
Yeah,
it's warm up specific muscles in the shoulder.
I think. But anyhow, back on to actual on track here. I think as a coach in today's world, like I spend a lot of time with lacrosse teams, like in a sport specific setting, like where they're actually at practice. And I notice even the relationships that I've built with them there, like, and that's, you know, 80 kids, but I have, other than the freshmen I have, cause I really hardly know the freshmen yet, cause they obviously just started with us this last summer, and it's just been kind of weird with COVID. Like I haven't spent as much time as I usually would.
Yeah.
At least the older guys, like I have a individual relationship with either one, and I know how each one likes to get coached. And Ethan, who's been on our podcast, I don't know what episode it was. It was earlier in the year, over Zoom because we were in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But well,
we're about to be in COVID again.
I know. He's the same way, and I think it's crazy. I was talking to, I don't remember what coach I was talking to. It was at a practice, but it's like if I had Ethan as a coach, whether it be lacrosse or football, if he was one of those coaches, and just his what he brings as a coach, to what he brings as a coach to the athletes and the team itself is more of the, it's not about a negative, you know, coaching mentality. He's positive in every way, and he wants you to rely on yourself for the negatives. Like, oh cool, I fucked up, let me fix it myself, I'm gonna go hit a single.
Yeah, like learn to be,
you know, mental reinforcement
with your
body. And obviously he gets on you and coaches you when you need to be coached, but I think even over the last year I've seen as my coaching style a little bit has developed being around them, because obviously I'm about around him with lacrosse club stuff. I mean, I'm around him, I'm with him 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's kind of brushed off on me, especially when I'm around the team. It's important as a coach, and this kind of goes back to the individualized relationships with guys. It's important to spend time with players daily, even if it's for 10 seconds. Like, hey, how you doing today? Like, what's up?
Yeah.
Especially kinda, like team 30-second conversations. Just like that little bit of conversation helps build trust from the player to you.
Yeah.
And you start to get to know that player over the course of time. Whether it takes, you know, 2 weeks to get to know them, a day to get to know them, you're taking time, and each little 30 seconds is a building block on getting that trust from that athlete.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, and you look at guys.
That gets overlooked a ton.
Yeah.
Especially on, like, team settings, especially, like, big teams.
Yeah.
Like, in a football team, if you had 80 football players and you're not able to talk to every single one at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get lost. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Even if they're third string or whatever. Like, you got to make sure that you are, you're building relationships with each person. It's like a boss at work, right? You
got to
be able to build relationships with each person.
And your
relationships might not be as strong with each person, but the fact of the matter is that you're putting in an effort to try to understand somebody and giving them, like, hey, like, you still matter and stuff like that. That's always important, especially for these athletes, man.
Well, I think the bigger thing, too, that's overlooked is you're gaining trust, whatever it may be, on the field. You're gaining trust here with those 30-second conversations. But guess what? For that athlete, those 30 seconds, that 10, 15, 20-second conversation, however long it is, right, they start to get more comfortable coming to you and talking to you about things.
Yeah.
Whether they're upset about this situation, it could be home life, it could be on the field, it could be in the weight room, whatever, it gets more personable. Yeah. Right? And you start seeing a lot more of a personal side from the athlete and starting to get to know them. And if you don't do that, whether it be a leader in a job and you decide to disappear and go hide in an office away from your facility.
Yeah.
Or you are a coach that you don't ever get to know anybody but maybe your position group. Whether you're the head coach or not, I mean, there's head coaches all over the country at different colleges, high schools, whatever. They only coach their position groups. They don't coach anybody else. They don't get to know anybody else the same way they get to know their position group.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to lead groups of people in that way because you don't know how to lead. You can lead as a group, right? But is everybody going to have buy-in? Probably not.
Yep. And that's probably a big benefactor of a lot of coaches in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that can even probably go back on Bill Belichick. I bet as I keep reading, he's going to be talking about those relationships. And if you're just a head coach, and a lot of head coaches are focus on the quarterbacks a lot. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be that person. You got to go in each room. You got to go to the DBs. You got to go to the linemen. You got to go in each room and make sure that you're building relationships with each person, offense and defense, special teams, whatever sport it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And exactly right. Like you can't individualize yourself to a certain group because you're more coaching that group. Yeah. You know, you're still a head coach.
Yeah.
And that's like a big issue. I think that's a big issue in sports all around the world.
Yeah.
That's
something positive.
A big success that makes great coaches and okay coaches.
Yeah. I would say something positive that's come out of this situation of COVID, right? You look at what we're doing in Colorado. I really have no idea what's going on around the country, around the world sports-wise, but you look at Colorado. As coaches in the high school setting, and even the college setting, I'm sure, it's a little bit different right now, you're being forced to work in smaller groups, right? And whether that be groups of 10, 25, 15, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You're working in groups that are quarters of the size smaller than what you usually work with. So now you're having the opportunity to get to work with these guys and these athletes and, you know, more it's still group settings, but it's more individualized because now you're spending more like
intimate
one-on-one time with your athletes.
Small group, yeah.
And, you know, I'd say one huge positive to what we do in the performance, you know, industry, you know, we rarely work with groups. And I guess it really kind of depends on where you work, but in general, you rarely work with a group bigger than 10 and you rarely group with, and you could be as small as 1, 4, 6, whatever it may be. But having that small group, I mean, if you're with one athlete for an hour, three times a week, you get to know that athlete so much more than even their sport coach does. Yep. And they start to, like, they almost become friends. And they obviously do, especially as they get older. They become friends more than they are actually athletes. And you become that person they kind of go to, you know, bitch about their football coach or bitch about whatever's going on at school.
And you're a mentor.
Exactly. And so I think that's one huge positive to, you know, what we do. And I think at one point, every coach needs to take some time to get some individual, where they're at and get some individual time with each player that they have on their team. And obviously I know like exit meetings are a big thing at every level these days, but like you're spending 10 minutes at the end of the season with one guy. Like that doesn't mean shit to anybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean that, I think there's a lot of positives with this whole COVID. Clearly there's negatives, but clearly if you've taken time to really dedicate to grow yourself, I mean, shoot, I think the biggest aspect, I mean, I tell my athletes all the time, like, to be a great athlete, you got to know yourself. Mm-hmm. And that means you got to know yourself on the field, off the field. What are you doing day in and day out? Like, you got to know who you are.
Yeah.
And some athletes don't know who they are. And it's like, do you want to be great? Like, do you want to add everything? You got to take that holistic approach, right? We always talk all the time, you got to have the nutrition. You got to have the recover. You got to have the weight, your face when you drink that. You're like,
it's the grapefruit. I hate it.
Well, I told you could get a different flavor.
It's okay. I'm powering through.
But no, I think it's about feeling what you're going through and knowing how to respond to it.
Yeah.
I mean, as a coach, I'm not doing my job if I can't have someone fix their own problems. Mm. And you have athletes come in a lot of high school athletes, they come in and they're like, I have this issue, or oh, I don't feel good, or oh, I'm doing this. And then you're like, what'd you eat today?
That's the first question.
Did you sleep?
Did you drink water today?
Yeah. Did you drink? Did you hydrate? Did you eat? Did you like sleep? What's going on? Like, and then they give you these crap answers and you're like, well, no wonder why you feel like crap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you try to talk to the parents, and then the parents sometimes don't do well educating their kids, or they have bad habits, and then it falls down on the kids.
Yeah.
I would say one of the biggest changes in my life, I don't know if you had this, was probably around sophomore year of high school when I was really changing my nutrition. I was like, hey, I want to play college football. I really got to change my nutrition. And it started from talking to my parents, because my mom's doing the grocery shopping.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Mom, you guys need to change your eating so I can change my eating, because you're the one that's going grocery shopping and you're the one that's making the food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So eventually kind of what happened was, yeah, then she started buying. It's what do you have in the pantry? What do you have in the fridge? That's what you're going to eat.
See,
so it starts with the person who's getting the groceries. Yeah. So it starts from the parents. Once they change their habits, then it falls down onto the kids, because a lot of kids they're not doing the grocery shopping. They don't have the money. They're not going to that. Especially athletes, most of the time they're not working. So that's kind of what's going on a lot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny seeing that. So I always tell my parents, and they're like, well, my mom doesn't get this and stuff like that. I'm like, you need to talk to your mom and say, hey, I'm serious about this. Can I get this other food? You know what I'm saying? Because I've made a whole bunch of meal plan recommendations for athletes.
It's hard. You can give it to an athlete. Like, if the parents don't buy into it, the parents don't buy into it, and that's the issue. I mean, I was lucky growing up that my mom was, like, deeply involved in the fitness world.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember. So, I mean, she can, like, her and my stepdad, and even when I was, like, staying at my dad's house, like, they controlled everything I ate, besides in high school, obviously, that changed because I was able to go to Chipotle every day for and then get tired of it. Switch to Jimmy John's.
Almost every kid at lunch, you're like, where are you going to lunch?
Chipotle.
Oh, I'm going out. Yeah, well, they're like, I'm just going to get this and this and this. And I'm like, every once in a while, you want to pack a lunch or something like that? You know?
Dude, it wasn't
Or they just do the same sandwiches. I'm like,
every day. It wasn't
like,
until
you're not a
2-year
old. Quit making sandwiches. Turkey sandwich. Okay, look, it's fine. I'm not saying sandwiches aren't bad. I'm saying bread doesn't digest well. It's not a great carb to have. I'm like, freaking make yourself a lunch, all right?
Dude, it wasn't until senior year that I didn't realize I needed to stop eating Chipotle every day, or Anthony's Pizza, whatever was around Grandview. It wasn't until I guess it was like second semester junior year. I'm like, okay, I need to stop fucking eating out because I feel like shit at practice every day.
Yeah.
And so I started going home for lunch. Like, I ate 35, 40 minutes. I live 2 minutes from school.
Yeah.
Like, I started driving home and eating at home. And the best thing was, when I started getting like the right off periods, you know, I'd have either like fourth off or third and fourth off, I would just wait until I would have my off, and I go home and take a nap and eat, and then go back to football practice every day. And like, it was like, you start living that, you got to start like realizing like what your goals are, beyond just the eating portion too. If you have an off period and you're going around, you know, and hooking up with your girlfriend during your off period before practice or before a game, you're stupid. Like, and that's obviously a very negative thing to say, but you're stupid. Like, go home go home and take a nap. Like, go get some energy. Go have a good practice, fuel your body, and get yourself ready to go and play.
I mean,
you know, and we were all guilty of it. Like, let's go home with
the
girls during off period.
You're not going to be perfect, but here's the nicest thing is, if you build those habits as you're younger, they just last with you, right? They stick with you.
And then you go to college.
And then you go to college, and then it's easier. No, no. But you try not to let it go away.
In dorms.
You got a lot more freedom, but... No, I just feel like I've built a lot of habits at a young age, and then that helps you as you grow up a lot. But you got to make a conscious decision and slowly start to make those steps to change bad habits. If you have a goal and you're trying to go towards your goal, if you have habits that are hindering you towards that goal, you need to be conscious of these habits and you got to change them.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to make a decision. So it's like, but this is a conversation I was having with like my dad. It was just, this is why you see a lot of people not go play college sports. This is why 1% of athletes play college sports. This is why whatever 0.2% play Division I. Like, it's just because you don't eventually don't make conscious decisions to make there.
Well, I think,
and when we get athletes, so since we're privatized coaches, we have an opportunity to really talk to these athletes and say, look, your parents are paying for this, and we're able to build these relationships. And like, they're trying to get you into college. They're paying for this because they're investing in you to get to college. You need to start learning that you're going to have to make other decisions outside of here to really maximize your potential.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then it's like, well, then tell your parents that you don't want to play sports. You know what I'm saying? Or say that you don't want to play in college, or say this, because at the end of the day, it's like, what are you doing here? You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you get kids like that. That's tough. Fine, and like, and they pay. But sometimes parents do just pay for, like, literally for you to mentor. Literally for you to just help them mentally. I mean, especially during these times, just to mentally be stable. Because kids are having a lot of mental issues during this time. So it's crazy.
One of the biggest things, you know, if you're an athlete, if you're a person, if anything, and, you know, you're experiencing, I wouldn't say experiencing, that's not the right way to put it. If you're trying to change the way you are going about your day-to-day lifestyle, whether it be changing a bad habit to a good habit or changing some good habits to be better habits, I think routine, and obviously, like, you're super big on this, and I get into that routine really pretty consistently. When it, I get out of it on a Saturday, it totally Fs me up. But obviously, I've started, like, learn to take in, like, the downtime a little bit and not be in routine. But as an athlete, as a person, you're able to get on a routine that will help you reinforce your habit changing, whether that be waking up, and whether you start, like, if you're waking up trying to go to the gym every morning, right? You don't got to start out at 5 a.m. and you don't got to go to the gym for 2 hours like some people. You can literally, like, just get used to waking up first, and then it's like, okay, start incorporating the gym, start training, like, whatever it is. As an athlete, just start thinking about, like, what you want to do. And if you really want to go play at a Division I level, and if it's in the, I can't talk much on other sports, but in the football world, you gotta somehow start getting yourself ready to wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and go to workouts or go to meetings and be ready to go early in the morning, classes in the, early in the day, and then be ready for football and school in the afternoon. If you can get on that in high school and prepare yourself, you're gonna succeed at the next level. And that goes for every sport, because I know volleyball is somewhat the same
sport.
I mean, everybody kind of has somewhat of the same schedule.
Once you're in college, you'll have, as a freshman, you're gonna train early. That's just your times that you get for the most part, so you're gonna have to do that. And the biggest thing is, like, getting up and actually being productive too. Like, being able to get up, make breakfast, be able to do something like while you're up, you know what I'm saying? And I think some, like, you'll have the kids all the time, like, well, I don't have time to make eggs. And I'm like, you always got time to make eggs. Or make them, I don't have time to get breakfast. Like, either meal prep or get your ass up. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how you do it, you get it done. I think that's the biggest thing that we've talked about, but results is results. Sometimes there's a million ways to get to one solution. And I always tell my parents that, because, you know, sometimes you get in arguments with your parents and they're like, no, this is how this should go. And I'm like, yeah, well, I can get that same solution if I do it this way, because everyone wants to always be right with a solution.
Yeah.
It's like, I can do the same thing, I just do it a different way.
Well, you're, it's because
it's like washing a car or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Here you go. Here's one thing that I will tell you right now that is, right? You become outcome oriented and outcome focused, not process. Like, if it was about the process, everybody would do the same fucking thing the exact same way. The process gets you there every time.
Have you took that Enneagram?
We were floating in the water. And we all had this conversation.
Did you take it?
Yes, I told you.
Oh, what were you? I finally took it.
I was a three.
What was a three?
I don't remember. It was
I think was three individual. I was a five, and my sister was like, "Oh, I haven't seen a five." A five was like an investigator, which basically, has to do with kind of like outcome oriented, but
a three is a level 9 stress, a level 6 growth. this is me to a T. Threes are self-assured, ambitious, competent, energetic. They can also be status and conscious, or highly driven for advancement.
What does it say that the three is, though? There should be something. Look up, say, like, the 9.
The achiever.
Oh, the achiever. Okay,
Sorry, I started reading it before I even got to that point. They're diplomatic and poised, but can also be overly concerned with their image and what others think of them. They typically have problems with workaholism and competitiveness.
That's you.
That's 100% me. I'm competitive as shit and I work all the fucking time. Yeah. At their best, they're self-accepting, authentic, everything they seem to be role models who inspire others. Their basic fear of being worthless. I always feel like I am not enough. That's like to a T. That's how I feel. I always tell myself that. Basic desire to feel valuable and worthwhile. 100% true. And yeah. Your key motivations, they want to be affirmed, to be distinguished themselves from others, to have attention, admired, and impress others. So basically that just explained myself to a T.
Go to mine. No, so that's good. So yours is basically, yours falls into mine too, because the investigator is kind of like the same way where it's like result oriented. So you're the achiever. The investigator was more like likes to learn first and then show second. Basically, I like to step back first and then let the result be.
So in math class, you didn't show your work.
Be the answer. Yes, I didn't show my work. I just copied the answer.
Oh, so Shane, how did you get to this? Well, I typed it into my calculator.
Well, my calculator did the work for me. I was just smarter. It's like, why wouldn't I use it? Yeah, all you are writing down.
You're writing
No, it just talks a lot about like observant, very observant. Mm-hmm. And then when I find my way to go about it, then I find my solution. Yeah. Then I go for achievement. But both of us are very result oriented. That's probably why we're friends, because that's the only reason why I'm your friend. No, I'm just kidding. It's kind of funny because I think those anagrams, they were pretty good. I was reading through mine and I was like, shit.
I mean, this is read mine. I know, I'm literally like shit. Like we're every it's time crazy. It's like, oh, it's you to a T, Christian. Fucking it's crazy. Cool. It's just, but like if you think about it, like isn't like.
It's cool. I think that stuff's cool because you get to learn more about who you are. I think sometimes we get lost on who am I sometimes? Yeah. And then those things sometimes actually, it's not as much as the, what are the little horoscopes? Okay, horoscopes, I'm not as I think, like, oh, horoscope, everything. But I think that's pretty good because you actually kind of take the test. They get to learn about like, how you react in situations, who you are, you know, not in certain situations or whatever. So that stuff gets pretty spot on. And funny. Then you can read about it and be like, shit, I have been doing this. Or I like how it connects the stress and the growth one. Because mine, when I took it, I was underneath the stress one. And then I like looked at it and read about it. I was like, shit, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. And then when you hear the growth one, you're like, shit, I felt that way too before. And you're like, damn, I've felt like good growth when I'm acting that way or something like that. So it's kind of crazy how you get to see like both sides of it. But I think everyone should take that, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it too is it's almost like damn near spot on with who you are. I mean, you go take
it's pretty good.
Like if you're going to go take it, you just got to go search.
There's a $15 one test too that like is probably more
in depth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the free ones do a good job. I mean, like if I look at that, like I start thinking about like different periods of, like, you know, I feel... I had somebody ask me not about a year ago, you know, are you outcome focused or process focused? And it's like, well, same kind of thing I just said like a little bit ago, how like you're more worried about the outcome and who gives a shit how you can get there as long as you get to the end goal. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I had somebody ask me that and I'm like, oh yeah, well, everything I kind of worry about is like, I want to know what the end is. I don't want to worry about getting there. I just want to be there.
You do?
Yeah, literally to it. Like every time, like I'd rather fucking know what the end's gonna be. You're like, how? Like mm-hmm. I want the outcome. I don't like I'm gonna work the process, but I don't give a fuck how I get there. I just want the outcome.
Yeah, you just want the outcome.
And then I had somebody, probably literally not like within probably a week of that say, everybody needs to be a process oriented person. The outcome is part of the process. And that was literally like, okay, no, fuck you. You're a fucking idiot.
I think it's weird. It comes to a point where it's like during the process, we live in a world is quantity more, is quality more, right? And quantity so far is more. So I think a lot of people are starting to be result. They want these results. And then it becomes so quantified that it's not about quality. It's just how do we get there? How do we get there? So then it's just shit, 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 shit. Sometimes like we see that with like certain social medias, certain businesses where it's just like, okay, let's just get information out. And sometimes it's not the right information. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. And we'll see that a lot. That's why people don't know what's the truth out there and what's not anymore. So it becomes what's quantity over quality now, and then what's results over not. And I think it's important to have both. I think quantity is important. I think quality becomes important because I think people aren't stupid, and they start to realize when they actually slow down, they're like, yeah, that's not right.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But results are kind of what society's trying to go, and a lot of people can't get the results because it's tough. It's competitive out there.
For you, it's almost survival of the fittest as far as like a mentality thing. I think for myself, a lot of my stress and like anxiousness comes from the fact that I'm so like outcome processed that I'm like, I'm just worried about like, I want this. Okay. Yeah. How do I get there? But I want this. How do I get there? I want this. Like my mind always like, okay, well, this is what I want. How do I get to the want? Like I can see it. Like I can literally you see the outcome. Yeah. Like you literally see it. And that's like with the gym right now.
Yeah.
You know, like we're moving from a very small space to, and it's a shared space to an actual like dedicated location for Ironworks. And I'm like, okay, well here's the floor plan. That's where I want the squat racks. This.
Yeah.
I want that. Yeah. But like there's this whole like okay, well you gotta sign a lease, you gotta go through the fucking legal paperwork.
Patient.
Wanna rip my hair out.
No, I've like, done the same
and
thing.
And it's like, it's just like my whole mindset's just like, just stress ball because the outcomes, I'm so fucking fixated on like, and I've always been like this because like, you know, it just popped in my head when I was younger, Xbox 360 comes out.
Yeah.
I want the Xbox 360. I don't stop talking about the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like I want the 360. I want the 360. I want the 360. I want the 360. Finally, Christmas rolls around. All I asked for everybody was gift cards, right? The process. Hey, Shane, I want a gift card. Hey, I want a gift card. Yeah. Hey, I want a gift card, right? Then I go get it. Yeah. Then I was like, okay, it's like the Xbox 360. I fucking was bored with it. Like, it's just a fucking Xbox.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was
just... And then you just want that next thing.
Oh, the Xbox One comes out. I want that.
And that's what's tough. I think that's what... So that's kind of what's funny is my... on that anagram, my stress one talks about like being scattered like that when I'm stressed. And like the same idea, like, oh, I see this, I want this, but I want multiple things. And then you get stressed because then you're like, you're trying to deal with multiple things and trying to get multiple results.
Dude.
And like, I'm like, I felt that. Yeah. No, I was like, I exactly get that. But then when you feel your best though, like when my growth one, I don't know what my growth one was. I think it was an 8 or something like that. But the growth one was when you're able to hone into... kind of like the process, but when you're able to hone into what you've learned and being able to be patient with the outcome that's the hardest part. But when you're able to do that and be like, hey, don't put yourself on a time clock because we're always competing against everyone else, and be like, hey, just let the outcome come at some point and just let it happen. And it's like this happens all the time. People are having kids at 25. People want to race to have kids at 25. People are getting houses at 28 or whatever. People are racing to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It becomes some point you have to run your own race. And we've talked about that, but I mean, at some point, you just be patient.
You can't worry about other people.
Can't be worried. And then the thing that kind of brings me down, or the thing that kind of brings me back to earth sometimes, is when you look at some of these super famous people, and when you look at some of them became famous at 40. Some became famous at 60.
Yeah.
Like you realize that you don't put a timeline on it. Yeah. Enjoy it, because then you look back and you're like 10 years later, like you said, almost like the Xbox 360, right? Those 2 months or 3 months, you're all worried about the Xbox 360 and then you get it and then you're like, well, this is all right. Or you have fun with it for a little bit and then you're like,
play Halo.
And then you're over it.
That's the problem.
Then like you missed instant. 3 months of your life. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So you almost have to... There's always going to be stresses in life, and the more you want, the more stuff comes on.
Yeah.
That's why I think trying to simplify life but still have lots of results, still have a lot of stuff, but don't overstress yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, for sure.
Just kind of find the happy medium with it.
Yeah. I think it's really hard. As certain types of people, I think it's super hard to... Like, I'm very scatterbrained. People tell me that I'm trying to do too many things at once. I need to focus on one thing. But what people don't understand is I need to focus on about six different things to be able to focus on one thing.
Yeah.
Which makes completely that probably sounded so fucking stupid to some people, but I'm like some people understand.
No, like you need to have
stuff going on to focus on stuff. If I'm focused on one thing, right, and I feel blocked there, I can jump to the other thing and I can focus on that, and then and then sometimes I forget about three other things and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that."
Yeah.
Literally, I haven't posted on the Full Ride Nutrition page on Instagram for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, "Oh. Yeah, I have a nutrition company."
Yeah, it's totally on the side, and we've talked about that.
Yeah.
I mean, even with our podcast here, like, we love doing our podcast. We're grateful for people with it and everything like that. But sometimes you get washed into other stuff because we have jobs, because we have other stuff that we love, and you have to learn how to balance it at some point.
Yeah.
But what I realize, right, and what we keep realizing is every year you're still gonna have other stuff.
Yeah.
So it becomes back, it almost becomes back to a point when you have to sit down with yourself and say, what do I want specifically?
Yeah.
And how do I keep six things?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where I'm getting to, and I'm starting to really learn that. So I really broke down, like, what do I want specifically in my life? And how do I keep it more simplified?
Yeah.
And not saying, I need to do this too. I need to do this too. Just be like, what are the things that really I love doing? What are the things that really keeps me going?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, if for me, what I've now broken down, right? I got coaching. Okay. So my job.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one. Okay. Podcast. That's two. Okay. So two things. I have music. That's three. Okay. There's my three things. Then I have education or schooling, I guess, for me, or just learning, self-learning. That's four. And then eventually relationship. Right, that's five, and that's more on the back burner right now. That's, but eventually you're like, shoot, I do have to do that. And then I know my other love that I'm liking is, you know, like, I want to get into hunting.
Yeah.
And that wants to be like a thing right now. That's more on the back burner right now, but I know that wants to be a piece of me.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's like, that's basically it.
Too much.
And like, but there's your thing, but there's your main categories, and then don't add. I think, feel like people try to add so much other things. Just keep those, like, keep the things that keep you going and that are very good results and you love doing, I think.
I think for that, like, that's me.
You just got to find some balance.
You keep adding more shit. You keep adding, like, that's me.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I got Ironworks. Okay, so one, I own Ironworks, right? But two, I'm coaching. So those two blend together, but at the same time, they don't.
Yeah,
And then on top of that, I got nutrition stuff, right?
Yeah.
Then we got the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm already at four things if you count that.
Okay. Yeah.
On top of that, I have, what else do I have going on?
Well, you have, I guess you have
life.
Yeah.
In general, I like doing things outside of, you know, Ironworks and Full Ride and everything like that. And it's like, you look at that and it's like, okay, well, I like going fishing. I've probably had time to do that. One, because there's a fire literally 2 miles from my freaking cabin and I can't go right now. But the other thing, like, I could go anywhere else in Colorado, but I just haven't given myself the time to do that. Winter's rolling around. I like snowboarding, skiing. How the fuck am I going to do that?
So that's what I'm saying. So here's what's funny, because I was just talking about that.
I haven't even involved
when girls I was younger. Yet. When I was younger, we chose summer or winter.
Yeah,
that's kind of how it was going with my dad's job, and then it kind of how it went with, like, kind of sports.
Yeah.
So we chose summer. So camping was summer.
Yeah.
Right. So that's our piece. So when winter rolls around, people are like, "Yeah, let's go skiing. Let's do stuff like that." I haven't gone because I feel like that's another ad. You know what I'm saying?
Bro.
So almost you have to pick and choose. Now, here's the hard thing. You still got to live life, right? Yeah. Go enjoy what you got to do. Like, I don't think you don't need to hinder back and be like, I'm not telling people that they can't go out and do as many things as they can. What I'm saying is, to be great at certain things, if you're result oriented, you got to small focus and really hinder on those aspects and find your strengths and find what you love about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of try to, like, hammer into those, because we know playing sports, when we were in sports, what was life about? Sports.
Football.
And we wanted to be good at it. Yeah. It took all of our time. And a lot of people don't understand that, especially when you play Division One. I'm like, I didn't hang out with my friends much. Yeah. I didn't talk to a lot of my friends. And it wasn't something against them, but I realized I wanted to be so good at football that it took all my time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now we get out of sports, and now we're trying to be great at multiple things, and we realize how hard it is to be great at multiple things, because we realize to be great at one thing, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of your time.
Yeah. I mean,
so I think that's what's hard, especially being an athlete.
Yeah,
or I mean, being
former athlete. And, yeah, like you're used to one thing, athlete. Or like kind of like two or three things. It's like football school girls, football school friends, football school social life. Like, in, but the, those things all mix, and now it's like you have
now you
work. Have, outside of work, what's your side hustle? What's this? Yeah, what's that? What's yeah, that? And then, oh wait, there's girls. Oh, okay.
Oh, there's well, family.
Oh wait, there's family. Life. Oh wait, I gotta go snowboarding and skiing. Oh wait, I gotta go fishing too because you can fish in the winter. Oh yeah. No, it's summertime now. Yeah. We're gonna go wakeboarding and go to the lake and yeah. hang time with friends. And it's just like there's so much shit. And it's like right now, it's like, you know, like I was saying, you have so much shit, and then. Oh, guess what? Christian's thinking about firefighting stuff again. Oh, guess what? And it's just yeah. like it just fucking yeah. doesn't stop.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, yeah, that's what I think more people, you got to sit down with yourself, get out your little notepad and say, what are my main priorities here? You just got to look at your main priorities. What really fuels my fire? Like what's super important? And then the other ones you're going to just have to take down, and you got to be picky with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like what we're doing right now, right? Friday night, we're doing podcasts instead of just social. Saturday night maybe is the only night of the week right now that we're able, yeah, you can go home or whatever, or we're able to have some a little social life with our friends yeah. on a Saturday night, but Friday night is dedicated to
something else,
podcast.
Yeah,
like you get what I'm saying. So it's not no more I can't go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
No, that's college.
I can't
shit. Yeah.
I realize I can't just watch football all day Sunday.
You watch one game.
I need to realize that, like, I gotta take other times into this. I can't just do just work Monday through Friday. I gotta do my master's. I gotta work out. I gotta do work. I gotta do a lot of things in the day. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what people, you just got to dedicate your days and be like, okay, what am I dedicating this? And then almost like Sunday can be like your flip day where you're like for me, Saturdays is like partial work, partial social, partial music. So it's kind of like my, like, you know, weekend, but like you get to kind of dedicate different things. And then Sunday becomes like something where like maybe one Sunday I'm doing a lot of like archery stuff. And then maybe one Sunday I'm doing something else. You know what I'm yeah. saying? So it's almost like every other week, maybe something this of not as much priority.
Yeah.
But it's hard. Life, I think that's why we have mental issues.
Yeah.
I think that's why the world is mentally. I mean, but that's why I love getting my master's in sport and performance psychology, because I get to learn a lot more about the brain.
Yeah.
And how people go about stuff, because that's a. Mental health is a big issue right now, and I think it's because, like I said last time, the question was, is technology going to kill us, or is it going to advance us? And I think it's going to kill us, because yeah. we have too much shit that's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
there's just too much stuff.
You got to be able to focus on 1 to 3 things.
I mean, have you gotten to a point where sometimes you looking at social media is another stress?
Dude, I've gotten to the
point. That's when it becomes an issue.
There's
when you realize that social media is another stressor.
Dude, okay.
Towards
so
you.
I'll tell you right now.
And I know we use it for work and stuff like that, but just to scroll through, it becomes stressor to read information.
Yeah.
And now you just don't care about people's lives. Social media is not about people's lives anymore. It's just like robots. I mean, that's Social Dilemma that we were supposed to watch, which we will
get around to it.
I can see.
I mean,
it's just addictive. Okay. It's an addictive.
No, I mean, I'll straight up tell you, like, I literally get tired of being on my phone. Like, I'm not, and not that I spend a ton of time on it, but I get so tired of being on my phone that, like, there's people that like are like texting me to have conversations with me, and I'm like, no, I'll respond to you later, or I'll leave you on read and I'll respond to you later. And
it's well, like, what's even tough Instagram is our messages, job is dude. Also like, one of the high stressing jobs because of how much sales we do in our job on top of training and how much communication we have.
So fucking annoying.
a trainer is, it's a super high stressful job. Plus all the other stuff we're doing.
Okay, I'll tell you right now, this is where technology is going to save us.
I need a work phone, first of all.
I've already decided I'm getting a work phone.
You got to get a work phone, soon. Dude. That's the number one thing.
I'm turning my iPhone 11 into my work phone. I'm getting a phone number for that. Yeah. And I'm getting an iPhone 12 because I want one.
Yeah.
And turn that into my personal phone.
I tried looking at, you can get like a work app. Or a work phone app.
I have a separate, but the problem is it's on the same fucking phone.
But it's on the same phone. Exactly. I want a flip phone. That's my work phone. I can't go on there and do no apps, nothing like that. All it is text and calls.
Dude, so.
And then maybe I can get my email. That's it.
So then when
I check my work phone, I know what I'm getting into. Instead of checking your phone and you're like, I don't know what I'm getting into.
And then you swipe over to Instagram.
Yeah, it's just
dude. I'm gonna get set up with a thing where it literally only charges you for however much you're on it, and not like
yeah, it should like hourly.
Yeah,
like you get charged hourly.
Like Google Fi or whatever, they like run their service through Verizon, but like they only charge you for like the amount of gigabytes you use and like shit like that. It seems pretty cool.
I might be able to do that.
But like literally, like I only am on my phone. I sit on Instagram quite often because I'm sitting there. I'm not even on my own personal Instagram. I'm on fucking Ironworks Instagram more often than my own personal one now. And I don't have, like, I literally, tonight was the first time I was on TikTok for the first time in probably a month. Mm-hmm. Like, I just refuse to fucking use anything on my phone other than text and Instagram. And even texting, I really, like, don't have time to text certain people. I don't like texting people back. I have literally probably 50 unread text messages right now because I don't fucking want to talk to people. There's probably three people. There's
too much shit going.
There's like one group it's chat crazy. That I respond to, and it's yours and mine and Jake's. And then there's probably one or two other people I talk to on a consistent basis or even have like any interest in responding to.
It's crazy.
And
this is just like
this thing's a fucking curse.
Phones are, it's your second brain, right?
Yeah.
It's the second brain, and we have too much stuff. And that's why, you know how stressful it is, but have you ever, like, gone through your phone and cleaned up?
What do you mean?
Your phone? Like, cleaned up your phone? Like, deleted shit? Like, deleted shit and, like, deleting shit, but also, like, trying to edit it to make it, like...
I don't move shit once it's already there. Like, I'll delete stuff out of a place and stuff will move into it, but, like, I refuse to...
So, what I'm trying to do...
Rearrange my screens.
I think the biggest thing is, like, having your phone almost, like... simplified too, and like limiting your amount of apps.
You know what I want?
This is what I want. This is what they need to do.
They have one
device, but it has a ton of different shit on the device. They need one app. No, look, like one app on the phone that's just like a big app, and you just press on it, and it's just, I don't know, everything you can get in one app.
I want to go back so you don't to 2006. And get a Sidekick. You know, the little swivel screen phones with the keyboard?
Yeah.
Give me one of those.
I had the chocolate in middle school.
All you could use was the AOL Instant Messenger browser. It wasn't even called, like, Internet or Chrome.
What happened to instant messaging? I'm like, trying to instant message.
You want
to
bring back AIM?
Yeah.
You can start, fuck texting. We're going to AIM.
Hey,
like, that's it. Like, pop up on it.
Yeah.
But no, give me my fucking T-Mobile Sidekick back. Fuck this iPhone bullshit.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm so sick of the phone. I don't know, man. It's a hard. This is what you said. I want to get off my phone.
And I'm sitting here on it.
And you're on it. No, you're like, there's times that I want to get off your phone. What happens though after we get off our phone? Like, I've gotten off my phone, and I'm like, but I want to go do something else. And then it has to do with another technology to do that other thing. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there it goes onto your computer or the TV. And you're like, I just want to get away from technology. What else can I do? So then that's why, you know, doing some archery stuff, doing some other stuff. Just get away the phones. I think when we all hang out, we're going to put our phones in a box. No phones.
Fuck this.
No phones. So that's just how it's going
to
be.
I don't even want to deal with iPhone. Like, Apple needs to go. I'm going to actually still have one. I'm going to go into my basement. I have this box that has a bunch of shit from when I moved, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get my iPhone, like the OG, like 2007 iPhone, put my SIM card in it, and I'm only going to use iOS 1. No apps. You just got SMS, Not even iMessage. You got SMS, phone, and iPod in the bottom right corner, and Safari.
The phone. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think that's one thing that I'm looking for outcomes and results of, like, how do I simplify the phone?
You don't.
Because the phone's still a part of your life, but how do you simplify it? And we tried certain things, and then it becomes another tough thing when you're trying to make money. You need technology, so you need these apps to be able to do stuff.
I'm going
to
hire an assistant, and my assistant's going to do everything seriously for me.
That's what we need. That's what every human needs.
I don't give a fuck.
A robot assistant.
No, not even a robot assistant. I don't even give a shit who it is. It could be
because their mental health is going to be terrible.
Guess what? It's their job. They're getting paid for it.
Oh, so bad mental health with jobs now?
No, it can't be bad mental health because they don't have to worry about it. Like, it's just my stress.
They're still worrying about it.
But they're not stressed over what I'm stressing about.
And stuff like that.
It's fine. Like, they can go in my schedule and be like, Christian has a time.
They're like, hi, Mom.
Christian's it's me. It's me, Rebecca.
What would Christian say? I'm out with the friends drinking beer.
We're drinking mixies.
Just your own computer. Just someone to be you.
You know what they need to do? Siri needs to become your assistant. Siri does everything for you. Siri, control my life.
That's what the chip is going to be with Apple or whatever. They're trying to put that chip in your
Elon
brain.
Elon Musk doing that.
Yeah, Elon Musk. It's going to connect to your phone, and it's going to read your thoughts, it's going to respond to people.
South Park predicted this. Bro, like in season 15 or 14, they had this little fucking thing where they fucking have like these things that you put in your head.
Oh, yeah.
And like it tweets for you, like what you're thinking.
See?
And so like...
Oh, my gosh. That's what life's going to be.
It was like Cartman fucking tweeting all his thoughts. Like, oh, Kyle's a fucking piece of shit. Like, fuck you, Kyle.
It's going to get really not private. Nah. We were talking about privacy. There ain't going to be no privacy here.
Watching porn and...
It's going to tweet.
Jenna Jameson tweets it. Jenna Jameson tweeted 30 minutes ago.
Liked by a million people.
Shit.
Now you're going to look at posts, and if you like it, but you don't want to click on it, it's going to like it for you. You're like, damn it.
That's dangerous with Instagram. Like double tap.
Everything. No more games. It's just going to... It's your wholesome self. Mad,
Mike.
It's just your wholesome self. You just stare at the Xbox and
it
just
does what you want it to do.
It's just who you are. That'd be crazy.
Can you imagine playing Call of Duty? It starts to read your eyes. Everybody start getting fucking PTSD.
Did you see what they did on PlayStation?
I don't want to know. No, I don't give a fuck.
They're video recording all the chats and people got arrested. People got arrested for talking about like terrorism stuff.
Okay, so I saw one of those things that's like been one of those like fads that's been going on. It's like, we started here we are. And it was like... It was like we started here, and it was a fucking Call of Duty 4 lobby, like Modern Warfare, where everybody just like shit on it. Like little kids telling you, "Hey, I fucked your mom last night." And he's like 8, and then it's like now we're here, and it's like PlayStation values the recommendations of our customers, and we're gonna be prosecuting anybody that like breaks our rules. It's like, are you fucking kidding
me,
PlayStation Network? You're soft as shit. Fuck you, Sony. That's why I buy Xbox, because Xbox Live doesn't give a fuck.
Xbox is probably going to go to that.
That's
honestly
why everybody's going to PC gaming, because they don't give a fuck.
The world
is soft.
Going down. Just to say that. It's going to be crazy. Next 10 years
let's bring back
is
dinosaurs.
Going to be...
Probably already done.
Yeah, they're already doing that. Remember you're talking about?
Jurassic Park.
It's going to be sweet.
I'm not going. Stupid.
I'm going to go. I'm going to be like, what's his name? Who controls Blue? The Velociraptor.
Is that the new one? That's the new one.
What's his name? I forgot the actor.
I don't know.
But I'm going to control the Velociraptor and be a part of it.
He plays Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I want to say Chris.
I'm going to be a part of them and control them. So then they can take down, you know, the T-Rex and everything like that. I got my pack.
I already control a raptor.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm done.
I was kidding. All right, well, good talk. My brain is fried right now.
You go to bed.
It's like
3 a.m.
No, it's not.
It's like...
But the phone thing is stressing.
10:40 p.m.
Yeah, it's too
fuck
much
you,
going
phone.
On.
I need a...
Anyways,
need a Motorola Razr.
Thank you for listening. Give us your feedback on what you think about the phones and technology and how, you know, the world's going. going down. Just got to keep a positive mindset, you know?
Maybe we'll just go to Mars and have our own
shit. They just need to get rid of technology and everyone needs to live back in the freaking Stone Age.
Everybody needs to use a rodeo.
I mean, we would probably be...
phone.
A rodeo?
Nice. Rodeo phone.
Is this your first rodeo?
Yeah.
A rotary phone?
A rotary phone, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. We all need to bring back house phones. Yeah. No one can text. If you want to call somebody, you can call someone on the house phone.
Now, if they live in a different state,
if you want to make a play date, you got to go ring the doorbell. Honestly, can Christian play?
Shane, I'm going to ride my bike here next week. I'm going to ring the doorbell. Hi, Mrs. Moody. Can Shane play? I'm here to do our
this
podcast.
This is why I'm going to be moving out in the middle of nowhere. Just, I'm not even going to buy Wi-Fi either. It's just going to be nothing. I'm just going to be like,
what? Dude, that land I wanted in Kiowa got sold. 35 acres gone.
Why are you doing that?
Because it was stupid. I should have bought it.
Should have bought it.
$120,000 for
35 acres. 35 for one? How? That had to be far out.
It was in Kiowa.
Yeah, but there's like Kiowa's whole different.
No, it was on the closer side of Kiowa towards Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was nice. I've looked at some land.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Well, nobody wants to listen to Shane and Christian talk about land, so.
Yeah, they do. They want to learn
it. Have a great week.
Have a good rest of your Friday and, you know, put your phone down every once in a while, all right?
Stay
frosty, San Diego. Actually, be in the moment for a second.
Stay frosty, San Diego.
Cheers.
Be cool.